Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15, if you will. 1 Corinthians 15. This is kind of considered the resurrection chapter. But there's two verses kind of tucked in here. I want to see 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I'm going to read two verses, 33 and 34. And I appreciate you being here tonight in spite of the wetness. There's some things that people will do no matter what the weather is. Okay? And seeking to hear one more word from the word from the Lord should be one of them. And I appreciate you being here. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, two verses. Let me read them for you. It says, "Be not deceived, colon." Good explain here. It says, don't be lied to. Don't let yourself be lied to. Don't get this work. Don't get this wrong. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." So what are we supposed to do? Look at verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." Let me go back and read this again. Put it in your mind here. He says, now, don't get this wrong. Make sure you understand this. Don't be deceived. Don't think that you can get away with this. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Don't sleep on the job and let the things of the world get a hold of you. He says, wake up. Awake yourself to righteousness, not evil communications. Awake yourself, awake to righteousness and sin not. Don't go that way. And then it says, for some have not knowledge of God. And then he kind of gives a rebuke. He says, I speak this to your shame. Let's pray. And I'm going to speak on this tonight. Is the world rubbing off on us? Is the world rubbing off on us? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word and thank you for the truths. I thank you for the life we have in you. And this is the resurrection chapter. Lord, we have a new life. It's this old corruptible must put on incorruption. This old mortal must put on immortality. We have great things to say, great things, great message to give, not only a new life for heaven, but a new life here, a life abundant. And yet, Lord, if we're not careful, we will let the world rub off on us and we lose our effectiveness. Lord, we need you. It breaks my heart to see the world drawing even Christians away from you. Sometimes I get weary in well-doing. Lord, may we keep looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, to having done all to stand. So Lord, give us your wisdom here. I want to be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I don't think this was original with Dr. Belcher, but I call him kind of my pastor, Dr. Belcher, down at Open Door. He's often said, we are what we have been becoming. We are what we have been becoming all along. This is where we go. There should be no surprise that we are where we are because we've been headed this way for a long time. Now, in the light of the messages that I have been giving on recent Sunday evenings about the new normal, I felt I should touch on something here and how we've come to be where we are in our society. Let me give you number one. And this is a warning for you. I see you're here tonight. And I understand that. Maybe I should preach this on a Sunday morning. In fact, it seems like when I have a message like this that I feel like a lot of people know it's amazing, it'll rain or it'll snow or something will come up there and everybody somehow finds a way to stay home. Sometimes, there's been some times when I think, man, this is a message everybody's got to hear. And somehow I think the devil goes around and pitches every baby and makes them cry and put something on their head and make them look like they have a fever or something. I don't know. This seems like the old devil will give an excuse for everybody for us to stay home. Amazing. Number one, worthless associations produce worthless people. Now, that's the nth degree, but the fact is we are becoming what we have been becoming. Worthless associations produces worthless people. Now, I want you to see, well, where'd you get that? Well, I'm going to show you where I got that. Our verse in verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." We're going to study this a little bit here. It says here, we must not allow ourselves to believe a lie. What's the lie? The lie is, the world says, a little bit of me won't hurt you. The world is saying, a little bit of the world won't hurt you. Well, you know what? Let's just go ahead and have a little fun. We must not allow ourselves to believe that lie. It says, be not deceived. It's interesting what that means. That word deceived means to cause to roam. To cause to look around. See what else is happening in the world. Find out what I'm missing out on. I can tell you over and over and over, and it's been both women, but it seems like mostly men, they get that midlife crisis thing going. And all of a sudden, they've had something good, they've had a family, and they had a good wife, they had some things, and all of a sudden, look, and say, well, you know what, this is not where I wanted to be. Or this is not exciting anymore. Or maybe I'm missing out. And then the world will tell them that the best thing for them is to make them happy, because, listen, it's a terrible thing to not be happy, and that's bad for your wife, so you ought to just leave her. All kinds of crazy lies. And off before they know it, they're out in the middle doing something they never thought they would do simply because they got a roaming eye or a roaming heart. He says, be not deceived. Don't allow yourself to roam from safety. Don't roam from the truth. Don't roam from virtue. Don't go astray. Don't allow the world to seduce you, to cause yourself to err, to wander out of the way just a little bit. No! Now, the fact is, we all wander away a little bit, but certainly don't do it on purpose. It's bad enough we do it by accident. Don't allow yourself to be caused to roam astray from the safety, the truth, the virtue. Don't wander and go out of your way and err. Don't allow yourself to be seduced. You know what? That takes some diligence. It takes some diligence. You got to make some determination. It was bad enough years ago, but it's awful now. I mean, it's real easy for your eyes and your hearts to wander away because the devil is advertising all the time in the grocery store, at the checkout counter. That, you know, just some, I hate to say it, just some person walking down the street sometimes causes us to wander. If we're not careful, we could even happen in the church because we have become so acquainted with the things of the world that we don't see it like God sees it. I mean, sometimes, I don't mean to beat up on ladies, but the fact is, us guys are dirty dogs when we're living in the flesh, and most of us are in the flesh more than we should be, and we don't need you advertising. You say, well, it's just style. It's fashion. And you know where you got the fashion. Now, I'm not saying you have to. It's not me. I'm not trying to be mean. We'll get myself in trouble tonight. I'm not saying you got to be Amish. But I'm saying we need to be careful. And guys, you need to be careful. We don't allow yourself to roam. We are told by the world that the world's okay. We are drawn to the world by our own lust, and in order to justify our participation in the world, we try to convince ourselves that worldly associations are not that bad for us. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and when that is in vogue there, we're in the wrong place. Be not deceived. Don't allow yourself to just roam. So, well, I'm not saying, he's not even talking about swallowing the line, the lie, hook, line, and sinker right away. It's just roaming. All of a sudden, watching that TV show that you knew you shouldn't be watching, but it's okay now. Let me give you some definitions. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, what's it mean, evil communications? That means hearing somebody curse and swear. Well, that's true, but that's really not what he's always talking about. The word evil there means worthless. Worthless. Depraved. Harmful. Injurious. Ill. Wicked. Things that aren't going to encourage you toward God, but away from God. How's that work there, Jimmy? What's that saying? It says those who aren't... Okay. Those who don't love God aren't going to help you serve God. Those who aren't drawing you closer to Him are actually drawing you away from Him. He said, well, listen, the only thing that is worth eternity is what I've done for Christ. So if I'm doing something that's worthless, he calls it evil. He said, well, it's not that bad. Is it going in the right direction or the wrong direction? Well, is it good to go in the right direction? Yes. Is it good to go in the wrong direction? No. So if it's taking me in the wrong direction, it's wrong. And God says, it's evil. It's hurting you. It's going to take away your joy. It's going to take away the spirit from you. It's going to take away these things you're looking for. It says evil communications. Now, the word communications there is being used the same way as someone has a communicable disease. What does that mean? It's catchy. You get close to them, you might get it. So he says evil contagions, evil connections. It really means the word communications, companionships, associations, interactions with others. It's not that you wouldn't think it'd be that big a deal. Now, we have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We don't have to sit down with a mess and soak it all in. He said, listen, evil, worthless. It's worthless if it's not running us toward God. It's running us away from them. Because listen, my walk with God is never going to get any closer if I'm walking the wrong way. It's worthless to me. It's hurt. And God says, not only that, it's just plain evil because it's doing you damage. It's evil. He says, evil communications, evil companionships, evil associations, evil interactions, when we're rubbing shoulders, getting too close to the wrong things. He says, those things will corrupt good manners. That word corrupt means to pine away, to waste away, to shrivel up, to wither, to cause spoil or ruin. I remember years ago, my mom and dad, we had a little place in Hampstead, and when they bought it, there was a little orchard in the back. I don't know, they had four or five apple trees and a pear tree and a cherry tree, I think it was. And there's a certain time of the year, of course, you're picking apples. And they'd have these, you know, bushel baskets of apples and so forth. And every once in a while, they would lay them out on newspaper so they wouldn't sit there and get soft and moldy and rot. But every once in a while, you find one. So what do? You get it out of one bad apple. Well, there's a whole bunch. Why? Because it's too close. The evil, the spoil, wears off. 10 good apples does not cause the bad apple to get better. So the fact is, we need to stay away from the bad apple. We need to get rid of it because it says, listen, evil communications, worthless companionship and associations gradually kind of shoot holes in good manners. Good is useful, gracious, of benefit. In other words, it's moving us in the right direction. And the word manners is habits of life. It's just you say, well, that's just not his manner of doing things. That's not how he does things. You need to do it in this manner. It's a good manner rather than an evil manner, going in the wrong direction. He says, listen, when I run around with worthless things, what happens is it starts to corrupt, wear down my good direction, and takes me in the wrong direction. We become like the people we spend time with. Now, I'm not saying you shun everybody. There are a lot of good folks. And by the way, you ought to love them all. But where do you hang out? I know listen, to some people this sounds arrogant and snobby and full of self, and I understand that. But it's not. He says it right here. You better be careful. Don't lie to yourself that this is going to be okay. Don't lie to yourself that it doesn't matter. He says, because evil, worthless associations will pine away, waste away, gradually spoil little by little. The fact is, I remember a couple times when my mom had those apples laid out, and some of them looked good. You turn it over, and a whole half of it was rotted out. You go, yeah, you know. I remember a couple times some of them had fallen off the tree, and there they were. And on the top, they looked good. We pulled them up there. It was all eaten out. The bugs had gotten in there. There's worms in there, and it's soft, and you know, it was hard on the top, but the other parts awful. And you say, well, I want to get away from that. Well, we should. We should. We become like the people we spend time with, the books we read, the TV shows we watch, the internet we interact with. Listen to me, kids. The video games we play. Kids, listen to me. Kids, I don't have your attention. We become like the things we do. Listen, you watch and play a bunch of shoot 'em up video games, and it won't be long till shoot 'em up doesn't bother you. In fact, it's almost, they make too much, and the devil knows how to do this. Sometimes playing these things or these wicked people who have done these mass murders, all these things, and they play it over and over and over and over and over again till we become desensitized to it. We are now spoiled, if you will. We are being ruined. Our good manners are being corrupted, eaten away to the things that are bad, that are evil, really don't seem that evil anymore. And this is why the new normal has occurred. Now, don't let the world lie to you and think, well, it's okay, it's just not bad, because we'll get sucked in just like the rest of the world. It doesn't happen all at once. The apple looks good on the top, but down under, there's a corruption going on. This is a slow rot that grows gradually. We do not spoil overnight. Did you ever go into the refrigerator and you had some lunch meat there and pulled out of the wrapper and, well, it doesn't look that bad. Just a little green. Then you're up all night. We are allowing ourselves to slowly waste away. That's what our nation's doing. No drunk ever set out to be drunk, but slowly sunk into its clutches. We had better not lie to ourselves and think we can handle it. Well, it won't happen to me because I will keep my eye on it and be careful. Well, if you were being careful, you wouldn't get near it. It'd be as gross as that apple that's rotten on the bottom. Well, take a big bite of that. I'm not going to take a big bite of that. I don't want anything to do with it. That's right. And there's some worthless things, some evil communications, some worthless association. We said, well, that's no problem. You know, if you eat just a little bit, it won't matter. We ought to turn up our nose at the rot that the world is sending us, just like we would turn up our nose if we sat down in a restaurant and found that the apple slices they gave us was rotten. Oh, no, just on the corner. Well, I'll just cut that off. Waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Oh, okay, there you go. No, I want new soup. We had better not lie to ourselves. If we ought to be so far away from evil that we can't even see it. We should hardly know what evil is. Really? Because when we see it, we want it. Romans 16, 19 says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, in your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." I just assumed you were naive. You kids are going to think this is crazy. I was in high school before I found out what a homosexual was, a gay man was. You said, well, you were kind of stupid. No, we didn't have it. I was going on around it, but everybody knew it was a sin. They stayed away from it. I didn't even know. When somebody described it to me, I was probably about 15, 16 years old. I said, oh, come on, stop lying to me. Nobody really does that. Really? Oh, come on. Ew. And no one does that. Huh? Then we laugh at it. Three's Company. Now, he wasn't really gay, but he's pretending to be. And we all laughed about it. And we became comfortable. And now they want to make sure that we have so many gay characters in the fall lineup. Why? Because they want to make sure that we feel that it's normal. And in fact, now they're so blatant, it says it is normal. How dare you say it's not? And there's even Christians, and I understand, I don't hate these people. They're sinners and need to be saved just like all the rest of us. And that might be their inclination, that might be their problem, but it's still wrong. It's just as wrong somebody getting drunk. It's just as wrong somebody cheating on their wife. It's just as wrong as robbing a bank. It's just as wrong as lying on your taxes. It's just as wrong as the rest of them, but it is wrong. And we become to a point where we're comfortable with it. Even what? Looking at evil can cause us to want it even when we don't know it's evil. James 1:14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The evil is in our heart. A few weeks ago, out of the heart comes fornications and murders and all kinds of wickedness and evil. It's in us. And we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. In other words, as crazy as it sounds, there's an attraction to sin. There are more and more people who are actually attracted to the thought of somebody knowing who they are, and so much so that they're willing to go to a concert and shoot as many people as they can so that they go down in flames, but everybody will know who they are. How wicked is that? It's the wickedness of man's heart. And the fact is, if we don't stay away from that kind of stuff, we don't keep our mind clear from that stuff, it starts to rub off. The things that the TV shows that are on right now, again, I've seen some advertisements. I can't watch them. I mean, think about it. 25 years ago, would we have had a TV show called Lucifer? They wouldn't have touched that thing with a 10-foot pole. You're gonna get mad at me. But we have CSI, all this kind of stuff, all these CSI things, and it's interesting, and I know, and it's intriguing, isn't it? But all we see is death and murder and gore and all these things that we become desensitized to the mutilation of a human body. I'm sorry. We become desensitized to it. We're intrigued by it. There's so many things we're like, I know I'm making somebody mad here, but listen, I'm just telling you, it's proof of how much it has rubbed off on us, and we should be horrified, look away, because I can't believe that we would ever want to see anybody go through that, and we're sitting there sucking it in like candy. We have not put enough distance between ourselves and the evil of this world. That's number one. Don't lie to yourself. Worthless associations will gradually spoil and ruin good habits in life. How many of us saw people when we were in high school get hooked up with the wrong crowd? Maybe we were one of those. And before long, things came out of our mouth we never thought would come out. I was a Christian. And you run around, you want to be friends, who do you run around with? You have what you have, you want to be liked. And every once in a while, whether it be cool or just because you didn't think about it, something foul comes out of your mouth. I wish I could say alcohol never touched my mouth. I wish I could say I never breathed in cigarette smoke. I wish I could say I never said a curse word. I wish I could. And I'll tell you why I can't. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. And I had to make a decision. I'd rather run with nobody than run with the wrong guy. When I graduated from high school, it was bad enough, and I knew I was going to a college where liberal philosophy and everything in the world was going to go on. My first degree was in music at a local liberal arts college, secular school. And I thought, I'm going in to the muck and the mire. I made a decision. If there's nobody, now I'd be friends to anybody. Friend to. Help anybody. But I'm not going to be a friend with anybody that's going to pull me down from the things of God. God in His mercy, by the end of the first semester, sent me her. Gal who wanted to know God. And I did too. But it's so easy to go in the wrong direction, to let the wrong things rub off on your life. Let me give you number two. Just a couple statements here. Knowing these things, we have failed our younger generations by thinking that if we allow them to have a little of the world, they will not be put off by righteousness. You ever hear the saying, they said, don't let your dog taste blood. You ever hear that saying? Why? Because he wants more. Why? Because that old wolf inside of him raises its head. Don't give a taste of sin, because sin tastes good for a season. I have had, again, I don't mean to be mean here, but I've had folks say to me, well, your kids have to have a little fun. So what's fun? So the things of this world are good fun? Is that what we're saying? So it's better to enjoy sin for a season so you can put up with God and His righteousness? Is that what we're saying? So a little poison is good for the soul? You can have too much of a true relationship with God. Now, I'm not talking about religion in a dead church, but I'm talking about a real relationship with God. Many folks who sit in churches today do not have a true, transparent, open, Spirit-filled relationship with God, and so it's no wonder we have had a difficult time leading our children to a real relationship with God. We've been talking about hypocrisy on Wednesday evenings, and I think most of us have had to redefine what hypocrisy is. More of us, and I'm, you know, tying myself too, more of us are guilty of acting like a Christian than we thought. No wonder the younger generations are running away from us. They're looking for something real. We think if I give them real, they'll run away from us. I'll be honest with you. I think they're soaking it in. In our teen department recently, they get a chance to ask questions. And the fact is, they want to know. They want to know. They're getting ready to face this crazy world. And it's like, listen, do you want to go to public school by yourself right now? Oh, my soul. Just to enter the workforce these days. We go out there as lambs before wolves. Number three. Our society, and I'm going to put a little qualification here because not totally, but our society is at least somewhat, probably more than not, a result of our failure to show forth righteousness. Now look what it says here. Verse 33, be not deceived. Don't lie to yourself. Don't try to get around this. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Evil communications, worthless associations and companionships, whether it be a person or with the TV or whatever it is, corrupts. It ruins good manners. Well, look at the next verse. Awake to righteousness. Something evil comes by and all of a sudden we wake up. Some kind of sensational thing shows up and the world is going crazy and we wake up. And we're watching this. Even the world says, well, so-and-so in Hollywood has been married for 7 years. Well, that's pretty good in Hollywood years. They'll say that. Well, they lasted 7 years. That's not bad. Oh, so it's okay to lie and say you're going to, till death do us part, you know, after 7 years, it doesn't count anymore. There's a cutoff point there. Limitations. No. There's a lot of Christians who say, well, listen, we're not getting along, so I guess we need to get divorced. Where did they get that? Rubbing shoulders with the wrong places. Rubbing shoulders in the wrong associations. Now, I understand sometimes someone leaves you and you don't have a choice. I understand that. I know that there's time they go out and they're committing adultery and they're gone. And God says in Matthew 19, there's a case there. And I understand that. I'm not beating him because we got folks in here who've been divorced and remarried. I know that. I'm not beating you up. What I am saying, though, we need to come to a point in time where we do it right this time. And not just say, well, we'll do it right this time. I mean, it's dead. I'm dead serious we're going to do it right this time. He says, verse 34, awake, arouse. Watch this. It means to get out of your stupor. We're running around drunk with the junk of the world. We can't see straight. We're loopy. We're staggering, we're not sure which way we're going because we're drunk with the sins of the world. He says, get out of your stupor, awake to righteousness. Right things, not worthless things. Right things. Listen, when right comes along, we ought to hang on to that thing, grab a hold of that, and not let go. When the word of God is preached and you say, you know what? That's my problem. Grab that baby and don't let go. Instead of saying, well, that makes me feel bad, so I don't think I'm going next week because I know he's going to beat on that thing again. Why is he so mean? I'm just as mean as a surgeon who's trying to cut that cancer out of your body to give you a few more years to live. Now watch, though. Look what it says here. Go back to verse. Awake. Arouse. Get out of the stupor. Start thinking straight here. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Stop doing those things that the world's convinced you to do. Watch. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know what he's saying? We ought to be embarrassed that we're not more effective in the work of God. That's what he's saying. He says there's people who don't know Christ, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Well, why don't they know it? Because we're too busy rubbing shoulders with the world, and we're not enough different from the world for to get any attention. Do you have a clear witness? Now, I'm not saying you go out and praise the Lord, hallelujah, hold it up. I'm not saying you walk in there. Listen, you have a witness. You don't even need to do that. Now, if it slips out, I mean, it's part of your vocabulary. That's fine. I'm not complaining about that. But you know, if it's really you, you shouldn't have to advertise that you're a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian, and we don't do that. It ought to be, listen, the folks, when we are in the world, but not of the world. And so when we're out there, it's not us schmoozing with the world. It's the world saying, what in the world is this? What is that? And after a while, it's kind of like, that I want. Now, I don't understand it. It's kind of weird, and it seems a little bit oppressive sometimes because you can't do this, you can't do that. But it's not that we can't. We don't want to. I had all the beer today I want. Every single drop. None. I don't even understand why people stick needles in their arms. I don't even like you. That doesn't even make any sense at all to me. Why they... Synthetic marijuana? Synthetic heroin that you're basically playing Russian roulette with your life? I cannot comprehend. I can't even wrap my brain around that. But that's how low and how far away and how evil communications can corrupt us, and to the point that we will practically destroy ourselves to stay with the folks who say they love us and they don't care about us. Well, we kind of have a camaraderie. We kind of have, you know, we have a family of our own. And here, isn't that funny how they say that? They've got a bunch of drug addicts out here in the corner. Well, we have a family. We take care of each other. Well, then get rid of everybody's needle. Go take care of them.
Well, you don't know what it's like. You never had it.
No, I haven't. But God says he can make us a new creation in Christ. We don't have to have it. Watch me. I think we can be guilty of perpetuating the problem. We run with the wrong crowd, and it corrupts the church, and then the church is participating in the corruption of the society. We don't, sometimes I think we really don't know the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to be, I know I'm in hard today, but I guess I'm kind of with that first word in 34. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. There are many in our society, including our own children, who have little, if any, knowledge of God and the Word of God. And we in our generation and the generation before us are responsible for the slow corruption of our society, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. I believe that. We have not given, listen, not to be mean, but there are many Christians will say they're living by the Word of God, but they can't hardly find Corinthians in the book. How are you living by the Word of God if you don't even know what it says? You say, well, the preacher said. You learn it. Don't base your faith on Sterling Walls. Base your faith on the Word of God. I'll tell you what, when something comes up, and by the way, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth and brings it back to our remembrance, I'll tell you what, when the first time that happens and you've been studying the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God comes to your mind, when you're confronted with a circumstance there and you've got to make a decision, And the Word of God comes to your mind and you said, that's the answer. Well, cool. All of a sudden you can say, I'm not doing this because this is what God says. Now, you don't have to tell them. You can say it in your heart if you want, but no, thank you. Now, sometimes there's been times in my life where people have asked me to do things. Now, like I said, there was early years when I gave in to something, but sometimes it's kind of like, are you kidding me? I'm not doing that. I'm thinking that's the stupidest thing. I don't say that because they're going to make them feel bad. I'm not doing that. Go ahead, have it out if you want, but I'm not going near it. I'm not going to have this in my life. How can we say we really live by the Bible if we don't know it? How can we say we know the Bible if we can't find our way around in it? We're basing our faith on what we heard someone say, and we don't really know if it's biblical. And you know what happens? You're going to listen to this person over here, then you're going to listen to Benny Hinn. Well, he mentioned Jesus, and hang on. I'm in a mood tonight. Sorry. I wouldn't listen to Joel Osteen either. Now, some of you people said, what do you mean, all the old two? That's right. That's right. There's a lot, you say, well, what's the matter with it? Listen, there's stuff going, I listened to a guy, and you would know who he is, and I hate to, because some good work has happened there, but I heard him preach a couple messages. I was gone, and we don't have cable. By the way, don't waste your money on cable. But we were someplace, and we were in a hotel, and they had cable. If that's the only thing you can do, I understand, but we don't waste our money on cable. But I listened to this guy preach, and he preached the whole message, never used one piece of scripture. I don't care whether he's independent Baptist, charismatic, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. If they're not using the Word of God, I don't want to hear it. That's the truth. I don't want to hear his opinion. I want to hear what God says. And I want to bring it to my mind. And see, listen, you may not like what I say, but listen, you can't fault this what this is saying. He says, awake to righteousness. Wake up. Think clearly. Stop sinning, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. We've been guilty of perpetuating the problem. We don't really know the Word of God. Watch this. We have not separated ourselves far enough from the world. That's why our witness is not clear. We have not separated ourselves enough from the world. We have allowed ourselves to make associations with the world that draw us away from the Lord. Our associations put us into difficult situations, and we have to choose between being true to the Lord or supportive of our associations with our companions. You get yourself into some things, you're going to have trouble. There's even some Christian associations. I'm not going to beat them up. I'm not going to preach against them necessarily, but I'm not going there. I'm not going to be part of it because it's going to make me compromise where I feel God has truth is clear. Not going to do it. There's some really nice folks, and I think some wonderful folks, and I know some in here probably don't agree with me with this, but I know there's some who do. But they're good people, but they use the wrong Bible. I'm sorry. There's a lot of folks out there who use the right Bible, who are doing a good work. That's the ones we're going to support. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use a corrupted Bible. Yes, you can get saved from it. I know you can. It's in there, but I'm not going to use it. There's problems in that thing. We have deceived ourselves and convinced ourselves that the best thing to do, hang on, is to be nice to the world. And if that means going against God, that's okay. You do it if you have to. Well, I know this isn't true, and now they're believing untruth, but, you know, what do? No, speak the truth in love. Now, I want you to understand, when I stand up here and preach, I'm opening up my heart and all the emotions and all that from me, because you're our people. But I don't talk like this to an individual. I hope you know that. But you do stand on truth. Truth is still truth. I'm sorry, not going there. When I first came here, there wasn't many folks that we were still supporting. We were still supporting a few missionaries. Now, I didn't know them, but we were still supporting. We couldn't hardly afford any of them, but I wasn't going to cut anybody off. But after we had some deacons here, I was going to make it my decision. Once we had some deacons, we went through and kind of reviewed. And I sent a paper with doctrinal statement to our missionaries. Now, if they're going where we're going, we can support them. If they're not going where we're going, where I feel like the Bible is teaching truth, we're not going there. There were some we had to stop support. I was very kind. I tried to be as kind as I said, so sorry. So I said, if you can sign this, we're good. And I had some guys who said, well, no, I'm sorry. I just can't sign that. Well, that's fine. And by the way, it was minimum. I mean, it wasn't even anything controversial. And it was nothing that you can't find in one of our constitutions and bylaws that sits out here. If you want one at the desk, you can always get one. If you're a member, you should have one in your new member packet. If you're not a member, there's one out there, you can read it. It's nothing, we're not hiding anything. And it's something that our whole church voted on. We've deceived ourselves. And we decided we have to go against God to keep everybody happy, then we will. But at that point, we have just taught the world that the things of God are optional. We've just taught our children that the things of God are optional. Now, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir. And I love you. I love every person. Well, listen, I love them. God must love the world. If I'm supposed to do it, I'm supposed to love the folks. I love. But because I love them, it breaks my heart. There's some people who say, well, you know what? If you get a little bit of God on Sunday morning, that's all you need. Listen, I tell you what. I want to keep as much of the world out of my life as I can. And I want to keep as much of God in my life as I can. I fear the world, but I also fear God. In other words, take this thing seriously. It's not a game. It's not just, well, it's kind of a nice little social club. Well, it'll just teach us some manners. This is not, what was the lady's name who used to teach manners? Miss Manners. Anyway, I'm not Miss Manners just trying to teach you how to behave and, you know, slap on your hands and this is how you be nice. That's not the point. The point is being righteous in the eyes of God and away from the worthlessness and the evil of the world. We have taught the world that the things of God are not critical, and we should put man first, even if it means compromising the word of God. And he speaks this to our shame. Number four. Associations with corruption degrade our habits of life. Now, I've touched on this, but I want you to see something here. Association with corruption degrade our habits of life. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 real quick. I know it's getting time to go. We don't need to go home and watch The Great Pumpkin. It's on tonight. I shouldn't have told you, huh? Associated with corruption degrade our habits of life. Constant contact with evil, worthlessness, things that are not to your benefit, things that are taking you in the wrong direction. Constant contact with evil gradually wears down our way of life, our good habits. Illustration. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. You all know the story of Lot. Abraham and Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Lot was being blessed as long as he stuck around Abraham. But got to the point where their bunches, their two families and all their servants and herds got to be too much for the one area. And so Abraham said, well, Lot, I'll tell you what. You take first choice. You go one way and I'll go the other way. You want to go east, I'll go west. You want to go west, I'll go east. But it's just you make a choice. And Lot decided he was going to cast his tent, set his tents down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Not in them, but down toward them. Now everybody knew what Sodom and Gomorrah was. And by the way, don't let the world say that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. That's what they will say. I'm telling you. They didn't welcome them in for dinner. No, that's not the point. You go read it all. Well, the New Testament doesn't say anything wrong with it. Yes, it does. Read it. You don't read it. So he moves in. He moves his family close to Sodom and Gomorrah. But by the way, time came when they needed to go in and find a new dress, and so they went into town. You know what I'm saying? They're going to go in and have dinner. They're going to go in the town. They're going to just kind of get close to it and get into it. Look at verse, it says, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, it's talking about the ones that came out with Satan, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. He says, I'm going to strike a die. I want you to see something here that's impenetrable. I'm sorry. Indelible. There you go. Indelible imprint on your mind. He says, watch. Turn them into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live godly. What's he saying? I put Sodom and Gomorrah in the book so you learn not to do that. That's what he's saying. Don't do that. Now watch this. He says, now he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, but look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Now that's not saying only Lot, because we know his girls came. That's not what he's saying. The word just is justified. This is Lot who believed in God, who believed in a Savior to come, who was with Abraham, but got too close to the world until it rubbed off. He says he delivered him. He was living in town. And what? And delivered just Lot. Look at the word. Vexed with the filthy conversation. That word vexed means this. To wear him down. To harass him. In other words, kids, sometimes you go to school and you get peer pressure to do something that's wrong. That's what it's talking about. They wear you, they harass you. What a man are you? You chicken? You go to church. You go to church. Hey, he goes to church. You got angel's wings on you now? Huh? Where's your halo? They make fun of you. That's what the world does. And after a while, they do it long enough, and you say, I'm tired of fighting, and we give in. And adults do the same thing. Well, if I expect to be given the next position, take the next level, then I'm going to have to take folks out and I'm going to have to wine and dine them. So I guess that's just what you have to do in this world. No, you don't. You have a choice. Well, I'm going to lose my job. Well, there's a choice. But wait a minute, God has franchises all over the world. He says it wore him down with their filthy way of life, their filthy, licentious, dirty, sexual wantonness to satisfy their flesh, no matter what they need. He says, their filthy conversation of the wicked, the worthless. Verse 8, for that righteous man, righteous in that he was trusting God for his salvation, not righteous in his actions, that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That word vexed is a different word. The first one means to wear you down. This one means to basically torture. We live in struggle. I want to live for God, but I don't want to take the stand to live for God. And there's this inner struggle. Now, how do you get rid of the struggle? See, Lot had a struggle between the world and the law of God. And there are two ways to stop the struggle. Either we get away from the evil, which is contrary to the good, or we give in to the evil so there's no longer a struggle. And too many people give in to the evil. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Lot lost his righteous outlook on life. He became a ruler in the city, was sitting at the gate. He was willing to give those wicked people his two daughters and let them abuse them and rape them all night. Well, I was protecting the angels who came for the visit. God can protect the angels. He doesn't need you to go into sin to do his work. He can deliver them. His wife was lost and longing for the world. Oh, there it goes. Pillar of salt. His daughters had a skewed and twisted outlook on life, and they tried to solve what they thought was the problem, not by going to God, by going into sin, and ended up getting Daddy Lot drunk and having babies by him. I know I'm getting finished here. Let me give number five. Listen to me now. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20 says this: he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Who's rubbing off on you? But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Verse 21, evil pursueth sinners. Bad things come to them. They're coming at us at all times for those who go against God's law. But to the righteous, good shall be repaid. Wrong friendships. Friendship with the world causes us to not have the joys that God wants us to have. So instead of getting away from the world to have the fullness of joy in the Lord, you know what we need? We decide we need to have a little bit more fun with the world, which takes us further from the Lord and thus further from his joy. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that warred in your members? You lust, ye have not. You kill, desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, and ye have not. Why? Because we ask not. Well, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You're worried about getting what the world can give you. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Do we think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? We don't need more friendship with the world. We need less. We may be in the world, but we should surely not be companions of the world. Listen, you got TV and video and internet. That's the eye gate. Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. My eye affecteth my heart. Books, novels. Some old love novel you're going to read on the beach. By the way, I'm going to get myself in trouble. None of us should be running around in our underwear. But putting an ocean in front of us and sand under our feet does not make it modest. I'm sorry. Some get mad at me. I'm just telling you. I'm just honest. I'm not trying. I love you. I know there's folks who go to the beach. And listen, I like the beach. Now, you don't want to see me. But that's not why I say this. The problem is there are some people I like to see. And I don't need to be there. You say, well, you went to Myrtle Beach. Yep, on the weekend, when the fall, when it got too cold for them to run around their underwear. I'm not being mean. Honest, I'm not trying to be mean. We're not going to have pool parties in the teen. How many teenage boys need to see some teenage girl run around in her underwear? So it's not underwear, it's a bathing suit. Okay, paint your underwear. You got a bathing suit. I'm sorry. In fact, some underwear covers more than some bathing suits do. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, we've been rubbing arms and shoulders with the world so long that it actually has, the spoil has actually started and we didn't know it. Getting hot in here, isn't it? Clubs, associations. If sports teams take you out of church, I'd quit the sports team. I might as well shoot the works tonight. All right. Do the influence that you have in your life encourage you toward God or away from God. If they simply neutralize God's effect on you, they are discouraging your relationship with Him. Psalm 101 says this, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I am not going to let this stuff, this stinking mess, rub off on me. That's what he's saying. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I'm not going to stay close enough to get to know him and his ways. I got to stop. That verse, that chapter goes on. It gives a couple signs of what bad companions. It doesn't have to be big. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, gossips. Him I will cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart. I can do what I want. Doesn't matter what that. Get away from him. Who shall we run with? Says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they that may dwell with me, that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Said, I'm not even going to hire somebody that's a mess like that. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. It's not that I'm perfect. Says, I just don't need to have that stuff rubbing off on me, because why? I'll do the same stupid thing. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, and that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. He said, I need to end these associations as soon as possible. We are not immune to degradation. Don't be deceived. True religion, undefiled, is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And this is what has happened to our nation. We stopped running with God, we made fun of good, and we exalted evil. We have made evil sound logical and even heroic. We made Fonzie our hero. I like to watch Happy Days. I do. But we made Fonzie our hero. A cure for corruption? If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Set no wicked thing before your eyes. And if evil communications corrupt good manners, then you tell me what I should do to keep my good manners from being corrupted. I need to stay away from evil communications. If I'm not running close to the world, it won't rub off on me. Father, thank you for these folks. I've been very patient with me. And Lord, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. You know I'm not. Well, we're not going to hear this anywhere else. It's all in your book. And Lord, we need to stay true in love, but we need to stay true to you. We need to awaken to righteousness, because if we don't, the next generation is not going to go. They're going to be further away from the truth than we are. And we ought to be embarrassed about that, because we'll stand before you and give an account of what we've done. Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, stand to our feet. Piano organ's playing.